Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
You're listening to the Voices of the Vic podcast with Ben Ayton and Mike Duffy. This episode contains some strong language.
Hello and welcome to the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy, Ben Ayton and James Batchelor. We are back to talk about Watford's first game since that emphatic 4-1 win against Manchester United. We did end the podcast last week by saying, let's hope we can follow it up with a good result. In true Watford fashion, unfortunately we couldn't. So we are going to be discussing a 4-2 loss at the King Power Stadium for Watford. On Sunday afternoon, a very snowy King Power Stadium as well. Before we get stuck into the action, because it was quite a, despite losing, it was quite an interesting game. So before we talk about all that, well, obviously, I'm joined by Ben and James as per. So, Ben, how's everything been since the last time we spoke, mate? Everything been all good?
Yeah, all good. I watched the Bake Off final last week. Bit disappointed that Cheeks didn't win it. Anyone else watching?
Spoiler alert, here? By the way. I mean, I don't watch it, but hopefully everyone's caught up by now. Otherwise, you've just given it away for them. But
they've had a week to catch up.
We've had a few mentions in our... to win from the very beginning, Ben.
Oh, did you? Oh, you are a Bake Off fan, James. I love it.
I wouldn't say I'm a fan. I watch it like intermittently, but yeah, Giuseppe seems like a cool guy.
Oh. What's going on with our celeb at the moment as well?
Basically,
they've not been filming, have they?
No. So basically, the that storm—I can't remember what they called it. I think it's Storm Arwen. Basically messed up the camp, so they had to. It damaged the production hub where it was sort of filmed and that. So they've had to, they've had to pause filming, and then it starts again on Tuesday, the 30th. Well, tomorrow. We're recording on Monday night. Tomorrow it starts again. So I don't watch. I've not been watching it, but I've got
to
a new...
To be fair, it's not been very good this season. I think they're lacking the Australian bit. It's been really poor. I'm considering switching off, to be fair.
Well, I called Richard Madeley to win it, and then he went and sort of... took a nasty turn and ended up having to be rushed to hospital and then he's left. So I'm not very good at calling these sort of things, but I'm telling you now...
You put a bet on that, did you, Mike?
No, luckily not. I'm telling you now, one of the two people that will win it, I think it's going to be between Adam Woodyatt, Ian Beale, for those that don't know his real name, and Simon Gregson, a.k.a. Steve McDonald. Those two are brilliant additions. Absolutely superb. Steve McDonald is brilliant. I think he will win it.
Personally. I think Steve McDonald edges it over Ian Beale.
Yeah. It's
just watching
close.
So far, his personality seems a bit better than Ian Beale.
Yeah.
Ian Beale seems like Ian Beale in real life.
He's lost a lot of weight as well. He looks almost unrecognisable.
He's got
lost
a belly on him.
A lot. Who? Adam Woodyard? Has he?
Well, aside view, yeah. Oh, well, I don't know why I'm saying it. I'm looking down at myself to see my bed. So,
Hey, the camera adds £10, so that's what they say.
But yeah, no, yeah, I'm all good. Sorry, good. I just wanted to carry on our goggle pod from last week. That a few called it after us going off on the tangent talking about TV. But yeah, all seriousness, yeah, I'm all good, boys. Disappointed about the result yesterday, but I'm sure we'll get our teeth into it.
Yeah, well, people will probably want us to talk more about reality TV and TV shows after losing to Leicester, but we...
perfect, let's carry on then. Anyone else watched Married at First Sight?
No, we won't be watching. We won't be talking about that, I'm afraid. You don't know, I've watched some shit, you two. I've never even heard of that, man. James, how's things?
I'm all right, mate. I went to a Christmas market on Sunday morning before the game. Saw Santa. I'm on his good list apparently, which is great news for me. Looking forward to Christmas. Looking forward to getting my presents from Santa. And yeah, obviously after that, I settled down to watch the game. Wasn't that great? It's quite an entertaining game actually to be first in it, but yeah, it wasn't that great, and it kind of ruined the rest of my Sunday, to be honest.
Now, some people might think you're joking there. Did you actually go and see Santa? Like, did you actually walk into a grotto?
No, so what it was, so there wasn't my... So basically, it was set up in Redbourne High... basically, set up in Redbourne High Street, and then Santa come along on, like, a tuk-tuk. So he was being driven along on, like, this tuk-tuk vehicle. And he was stopping at every group of people. So me and Santa had lovely conversation. He asked twice for Christmas, and yeah, me and Santa got that arranged.
What did you ask him for?
Hang on, James. Was you in a group of people?
No, I was with my family.
Oh, right. I thought you'd just gone down on your own just to see Santa. You thought, well,
just to see Santa. No.
Mom, Dad, I'm nipping out for a couple of minutes. Santa's down Red Bull.
No, I was with my mum, my dad, my nan come along for the trip, my little brother as well. So yeah, but don't worry.
Everyone's meeting Santa.
I feel a bit left out now. You missed a trick not asking him for 3 points that day, James, because we really could have done with it. Unfortunately for us, I mean, I had my first postponement of the season for my Saturday team. Birmingham had quite heavy-ish snow on Friday night. So come Saturday morning, it was sort of melting, and then it started again, apparently. We fell victim to our first postponement. Well, actually our second postponement, but the first one because of snow. Probably going to be a running theme for the next few weeks as well in December. I don't know what it's been like down near Hertfordshire, but certainly where I'm living and back home, it's been really, well, the weather's been icy and really, really, really cold. Although my Sunday morning game did get the nod to go ahead, so I found that was a bit odd, but I was gutted we didn't play Saturday because we had bottom of the league and they've only won once this season. So, we should have, really, that's a game we should really have been winning. So, a little bit disappointed about that, but it meant that I got to play football on Sunday morning, then I got to watch a game itself on Sunday afternoon. I was very, very close to actually attending, so big thank you to those that actually replied to my tweets and Facebook posts, and I think I put it on Instagram as well. If my game was due to be called off on the Sunday morning, I was thinking, because I live on the border of Nottinghamshire and Leicestershire, I was literally going to be like, right, if the game's called off, then I will literally jump on a train to Leicester. It takes 10 minutes from my local station, and I'll just go to the game. And I had about 5 or 6 people message me saying they had spare tickets. So if you're one of them and you happen to listen, thank you very much for that. And I did get back to everyone, so hopefully I've not ignored you. So, yeah. Big thanks to that. But sort of glad it didn't go. Sort of, you know, I missed out on quite, you know, a spectacular game, really. 6 goals. But as always, before we delve into that, we'll start with the team news. 3 changes to the Watford starting 11. So Ben Foster missed out because of a groin injury. Ismail Assar missed out because of a knee injury. And Nicholas Nkulu missed out with a hamstring injury as well. So the team was Daniel Backman in goal. A back four of Adam Messina, Craig Cathcart, Troostekong, Kong, Kiko Femenia. Midfield three of Cleverly, Luza and Sissoko. And then a front three of Josh King, Emmanuel Dennis and Chucho Hernandez. On the bench was Rob Elliott, Jeremy Ngakia, Danny Rose, João Pedro, Dan Gosling, Ashley Fletcher, Ozan Tufan, Christian Cabaselli, and then the youngster, James Morris. Talking to James, we'll come to you first. That team news, bearing in mind with the injuries we had, do you think that was the strongest team we could have picked? Was there anyone in there that you maybe thought, well, he probably should have got a game instead? I know it's easy to ask that now. We know what the outcome of the game has been, but in terms of before the game, or was you relatively happy with that starting 11?
No, relatively happy, I'd say. I was happy the midfield three stayed the same after Manchester United, because I think they put in some standout performances. Obviously, if Nkulu was available, I would have started him instead of Troostekong. And the only change I would have made really would have been Hernandez out for João Pedro. I think João Pedro showed, you know, against Manchester United, he obviously has the quality to play for the Watford first team. So for me, the only change I would have made with the players available would have been João Pedro in for Hernandez.
Absolutely. And Ben, do you agree with that? Would you have maybe brought João Pedro in? Were there any changes that you would have made looking at that team?
Yeah, I agree with James. I think there was all the right changes. Like you say, maybe the only inclusion that you might have done is João Pedro. But where was you going to put him in from? Would you swap him with Sarr because of his injury? Or would you just play Hernandez from the start? So that was the only one that I would maybe would have thought about. It would have been, would I started Hernandez or would I give João Pedro the nod? But I think I would have gone with the same starting 11, to be fair, with Claudio Ranieri.
And Ben, staying with you, obviously going into this game, coming off the back of quite a win, you'd have thought tails would have been raised and, you know, everybody would have been, you know, really buzzing to get this game underway. Leicester had quite a big game in midweek in the Europa League, which they had to win to stay in the Europa League. They did win 3-1. So, you know, maybe we were hoping there was a little bit of tiredness, a little bit of fatigue, but coming in off the back of a big result for them as well in midweek, what was your thoughts going into the game? Was you thinking, you know, momentum would be on our side, or was you thinking maybe a draw we'll have to do here?
Well, after we recorded last week, I think we was all a bit confident, thinking we could go to Leicester and get something. We need that consistency now. Great performance against Manchester United, picking up 3 points and scoring 4 goals against them. But then we didn't know how long Nkulu would be out injured for. We didn't know that Sarr was going to be injured for this amount of time as well. We didn't know Ben Foster was going to pick up an injury in the week. So all of that kind of changed my feelings towards the game as the week went on. We was waiting for the press conference a couple of days beforehand to see if I was going to be fit enough to start. There's been given no time on when they're going to recover from these injuries. So I actually went from being confident or slightly confident into this is going to be a long old day at the office. Yes, you can replace Ismaïla Sarr. I think we've seen it this season. Ranieri's even said it in press conferences. He substituted him twice and Watford have scored 4 goals without him being on the pitch. So replacing him wouldn't have been an issue. The main issue was being Nkulu at the back and seeing Troostekong come in. We all saw the performance of Troostekong yesterday. I think we can all agree that that wouldn't have happened if Nkule was on the pitch. It was an atrocious performance from William Troost-Ekong, and it's not the first time we've said that this season. You and me spoke about Troost-Ekong last week, Mike, didn't we? We were sharing tweets of what we saw from his international duty with Nigeria, and he had a really poor performance for Nigeria as well, and all the Nigerian fans all on Twitter were completely slating him, saying what's happened to Troost is woeful now, his distribution's poor, his positioning's poor, and everyone was getting onto his back, and I was like, have you seen this, Mike? And he was like, yep. So kind of was a bit nervous seeing that he was going to start up against Jamie Vardy, and look, the scoreline doesn't lie, really. It was really poor defensive display by him. So yeah, started the week being confident, ended the week being, oh God, this is going to be a long afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the inclusion of Nkulu wasn't the only inclusion which I think people are a little bit worried about, James. Obviously, we've seen earlier in the season about this whole Dan Backman, Ben Foster sort of debate, and Foster's backed it up with some really good performances, albeit, you know, results maybe have gone against us, but Foster's been a bit of a shining light in some of those defeats. So we thought, you know, well, I think it definitely has been ended now, the debate, but we saw once again the debate of Foster and Batman maybe come up. There was a few people, you know, we were all surprised that Foster wasn't playing, and it's now this evening come out that there was an article from Adam Leventhal to say that he could have possibly been injured in a charity game for Hashtag United, which was played last Wednesday. Us three were speaking before we recorded. Ben Foster has also come out and sort of tweeted to say, look, you know, I'll read you the tweet itself. He goes, hi guys, just to clear this up, unfortunately I injured my groin in training on the Thursday before the Leicester City game. Hopefully nothing too major. It certainly had nothing to do with my 15-minute cameo in a charity kickabout earlier in the week. Hope to be back soon. Straight away, when that Adam Leventhal sort of article was released, and it said that it was possible that he could have, you know, received this, sort of picked up this injury, Twitter just sort of, the floodgates opened, didn't they, James? I know you wanted to specifically have a word on this. What was it you wanted to have your say about?
Yeah, I think for me it's just, I mean, you mentioned that Adam Leventhal put it in his article, and if you actually go through and read that article, you know, he never at any point says that is what has caused Foster's injury. It's totally pure speculation on Adam Leventhal's part, and it was probably a deliberate decision to put that in there because it got a lot of Watford fans talking. But a lot of Watford fans are obviously quite dumb because they've taken what is speculation to be true fact. And, you know, it's clear to me reading through Twitter this evening and this afternoon that a lot of people who didn't like Foster anyway have kind of used it to kind of fuel their agenda against him. And it's disappointing for me, really, because, you know, I think what I just wanted to say is, you know, footballers do have lives outside of football. You know, Ben Foster goes cycling. He could have pulled his groin when he goes cycling. You know, everything you do comes with some sort of risk. So for people slating Foster for playing in a charity game or going cycling or whatever it may be, you kind of got to reassess. I think people just have to reassess their thoughts in this situation because it was taken completely out of context. Something that was just pure speculation. So yeah, that's basically all I wanted to say on it, really. And hopefully people have calmed down about it now.
Yeah, and I'd like to think that, obviously, listen, I don't really like talking about the whole Foster thing because, I'll be honest, it's boring. I couldn't give a shit, to be honest. Like, so, you know, I don't want to go into too much detail, but you'd like to think that the club would have their say and be like, right, we don't think you should actually play. Like, you'd like to think that, you know, if he was injured and he maybe then played and he was going to possibly aggravate it a little bit more, you'd think the club would step in. But yeah, I think a lot of people when I first saw, I jumped on Twitter, I think after work, and I saw, can't believe Foster's done his injury playing for hashtag, and I was like, wait, what? And then I saw an Adam Leventhal, I saw the snippet from the Adam Leventhal article, and I was like, right, but that doesn't actually say he's done it. And like I say, it just gets boring. Otherwise, if it was fresh, I'd probably tweet about it a bit more. I'd definitely be sticking up for him and whatnot, saying, listen, he doesn't actually say he's done it, but it's just so boring. Like, I'm genuinely over the whole Foster, why is he doing this, why is he doing that? Don't get me wrong, there's things that he's done on the channel which have done my head in. It's not very professional, it's not really thought through, maybe. But the whole thing, you know, he's sort of pulled out some performances in recent games to suggest that, you know, it's not maybe taking over too much, and, you know, he's doing as well as best as he can in a Watford shirt. You know, I think against Arsenal, yeah, we lost 1-0. I think he was good that game. He was good against Manchester United, obviously. You know, there's other games which he's kept us in as well. So, yeah, little bit disappointed. But, Ben, I think it was a difficult day at the office for Dan Backman, who only recently said in an article that he was dropped for non-footballing reasons, and he sort of was making some big claims, and he got his chance, and he probably will get his chance again on Wednesday, because that tweet from Foster doesn't sound like he's going to be back anytime soon. So Backman's got two big, big games to come up against, and yeah, you know, he's maybe being thrown back into the deep end a little bit with the two opponents we've got coming up, but he certainly didn't help his cause on Saturday, and as we've mentioned, Troostekong Kong certainly didn't as well. 17 minutes on the clock, a long ball goes over, routine, you'd expect the defender to get the head on it, but Troostekong's ducked under it, James Maddison's there, easiest goal he'll score in his career probably. That Moussa Sissoko did say that there was a shout from Maddison to leave the ball, and Troostekong obviously thought that was Backman, which me and you did say, you know, if that is the case, then it should have been a yellow card and a free kick. We've suffered something similar before with Harry Arter and Bournemouth. But, yeah, Ben, for me, I think regardless of if you're shouting, if you're not sure, if there's a ball coming over, it's instinct. You've just got to head it. And then if it was Backman that called it, just apologise. Look, sorry, yeah, I should have let it come through. But at least you've dealt with the danger then. It's better to be safe than sorry. What's your thoughts on the goal?
I think it gets worse every time you watch it. he should have dealt with it straight away. At the end of the day, he's a defender and you defend your box. I don't like the idea that he's left it to go over to his head. It looks like it was so last minute that he ducked out the way. He was fully committed to do something there, like to head it away, but he's ducked last second because obviously he heard the call from Maddison behind. But it's just naive defending and causing issues for ourselves all the time. It's all avoidable. Troostekong hasn't done himself any justice at all there. It's really poor from him. Like, he's played with Backman for majority of last season, for half of last season, from January last year. So he knows what he sounds like. Look, we've all heard Daniel Backman in the Hive games when there's no fans attending. We know how loud and vocal Dan Backman is.
Yeah,
I can't imagine James Maddison does a really good Austrian accent to mirror that.
He's from Coventry as well, so he won't sound too dissimilar to me.
Exactly. So it's just poor judgment. Really poor from Troostekong. You expect better from him. Well, I say you expect better than him, but his performance has been really poor, and I don't think we do expect much better from Troostekong at the moment, if I'm totally honest. And we're going to get onto the fourth goal later on, but I think the fourth goal is worse than the first goal on Troostekong's part. Really poor day at the office from him. It's a shame that we haven't got any centre-halves at the club that's fit, well, other than Craig Cathcart, because Craig Cathcart at the moment is the best defender at the club.
Yeah.
Fit defender. Mm-hmm. And who would have said that a few weeks back? Look, we all saw not me. I hold my hands up. I said this the other day. friend of a show, Sam Uko, was on Twitter the other day saying about Craig Cathcart and saying like how reliable he is now, and that people were all quick to jump on his back saying how poor he was at the start of the season, but he's been really good of late. And I said, yeah, hands up. Like, at the start of the season, he was probably questionable and probably was at blame for a couple of the goals. But since Ranieri's came in, I think it's been really good. I think consistency as well from Trev Cathcart, leadership, positioning, throwing his body in front of a ball when it's needed. And he looks really good next to Nkule. It's just a shame when Truce Ekong comes in, it looks like there's no leadership between the two of them. They don't know what they're doing. But it's just really poor, mate.
Yeah.
It was just an avoidable goal.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And like you say, it's routine stuff. If you should have had the spatial awareness and everything else to, you know, I think James Maddison was either on Cathcart or he was on Truce de Kong before the ball was played, because obviously when he received the ball, he looked massively offside, but when the ball was played, he was onside. So whether there needs to be better communication between Cathcart and Truce de Kong to say, look, he's coming on to you now, Truce de Kong needs to be maybe more spatially aware or more aware of his surroundings. But that's rookie stuff, you know. You've got to deal with it there. And and then if it was Backman that did call it, then they can bollock each other afterwards. At least it saves a goal then, which is the main thing. But yeah, Truce de Kong has not been up to the races at all recently. I called him out after the Leeds game and got a few tweets back saying, you know, basically saying I was unfair to do so. Now, you know, I think his performances haven't improved, unfortunately. Yes, he was brilliant for us. We have a lot to thank him for. Last season, he was absolutely solid with Sierra Elta, and he was solid when he played. But this season, he's just not been able to make the step up. He's not been able to make the step up as of yet. So I really hope it does improve for him, because he seems like genuinely a brilliant, brilliant guy. And it's also funny as well how James mentioned agendas against certain players. Truce de Kong's now got a YouTube channel. He's been playing poorly. No one's blaming it on that. So, but yeah, listen, I don't want to...
Give it a week.
I don't want to talk about that. But yeah, 1-0 down, unfortunately, for us. And it was, you know... Typical Watford, you know, the amount of times we've gone 1-0 down in a game, and I think it can definitely, you know, get to us. But recently, you know, we have been playing a little bit better. You can see what Claudio Ranieri is trying to do. You know, Chucho Hernandez was close to an equaliser. He had a shot from distance which deflected off the inside of the post. I think it hit the inside of the post and then was just about to hit the other post, but I think Kasper Schmeichel smothered it. But 29 minutes on the clock, James, and a man that has gone truly under the radar, which is good. I'm happy. There's a stat about him getting 5 goals and 5 assists. I don't think he's only the second player to ever do it, or I'm not sure what the stat is. I really should get the stats before trying to read them out. Maybe you know, James, but Dennis was fouled in the area by Ndidi. Clear penalty to me. Yeah, maybe Dennis has made a bit of a meal of it. But James, how good is Dennis? Like, just getting at him, running at him. And that's what we want to see as well. We've gone 1-0 down. We could very easily start feeling sorry for ourselves. But no, we want to go for it. And Dennis is really trying, like, really making things tick at the moment for Watford, isn't he?
Oh, he's a very, very, very beautiful man, Emmanuel Dennis. I mean, he's just absolutely... You know, he's fantastic. You know, £3 million from Club Rouge. I think that's a few pods ago. You know, we all kind of sat here and, you know, were a bit miffed off about the site and, you know, reading about his supposed attitude problems and stuff like that. But he's come in, and I think the stat you're thinking of, if I recollect it correctly, was I think he's the 6th player in Premier League history to reach 10 goal contributions in 12 games or under, which is absolutely, it's fantastic. And, you know, to be honest, he's not really being spoken about in the mainstream media at all. As you say, Mike, he's gone completely under the radar. And, again, you know, winning the penalty for Watford. I don't think winning penalties counts as an assist, but it should do in my eyes, because it ultimately led to Josh Keane, you know, banging it away and, you know, getting Watford back into the game.
Yeah, very good penalty that was from Josh King, and he obviously then, as you say, stepped up and made it 1-1, which is what we were sort of hoping for, a bit of a sigh of relief, a breath of fresh air. Josh King, another goal for him, Ben, 5 for the season now, and we've said it on many pods, he really is starting to show why we bought him, and he's starting to also be another brilliant, brilliant signing, considering he costs nothing.
Yeah, well, lots of people are saying about the signing of the summers, Emmanuel Dennis. I'd like to raise him, Josh King as well. Josh King, like you said, didn't cost a penny. Come in, point to prove, 5 goals this season, well on his way to double figures, leading the line for Watford. He's not just scoring the goals, he's leading the line. He's chipped in with a few assists this season as well. And he's just been brilliant. I think the way he combines with Ismail Assar, Emmanuel Dennis, Cuco Hernandez, when he's on as well, he just links up with them really well, like he's played with them for years. It's just a joy to see. It's just the front line of Watford at the moment, we're truly spoiled. We've got so much talent going forward. It's just a shame at the other end, because you don't know which way it's going to go at the moment, do you?
No, definitely not. And something else I want to point out as well, so far already, I mean, how many games into the league are we? 13, 14 maybe? But the front three of Watford have already got 15 goals between them, the regular front three. So Ismail Assar, Emmanuel Dennis and Josh King both got 5 each. And it's also brilliant to see as well, we've got 3 players in the top 10 goal scorers of the league. You know, it's very rare you'll see a team like Watford have someone up there like that, you know, to occupying the company that they do. And considering where we are in the table as well, that's a magnificent achievement. So, as we say, Josh King gets another goal, 5th of the season. My prediction of double figures is slowly gaining some speed. I certainly do think he will get there, you know, 5 goals already. And the confidence will just grow and grow and grow with more games. But yeah, so we thought, happy days, 30 minutes on the clock, 1-1, let's, you know, I said before the game I would have happily taken a draw, but that's not to say that I would have thought, right, let's sit back and sort of defend this and take the 1-1. I think Leicester were there for the taking. Leicester haven't been playing too well recently in the league, so maybe that would have knocked the wind out of their sails a little bit. But unfortunately for us, 34 minutes on the clock, James, and Jamie Vardy doing what Jamie Vardy does, and he finished from a tight angle and put it past Daniel Backman, and soon enough it was 2-1 and we was down again. And yeah, going forward, I think it's very fair to say, going forward, as you know, Ben's just said, we look very, very exciting, but at the back, we're hopeless, aren't we, James?
Yeah, I think, again, Schuster Klong losing his man. And by the way, Jamie Vardy was making so many runs in behind you. He was relentless in that sense. But the entire game, even from the first minute, he made a really good run in behind, only to be saved by Dan Batman. So the threat was always there. And ultimately, that time, it paid trumps. And, you know, Batman, you know, comes rushing out and Vardy just, you know, dinks it over him. We know Vardy's got the quality to do that. And yeah, straight after Watford get back into the game, you know, we throw it away with poor defending once again, and just giving ourselves, you know, another mountain to climb, which is really, really disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, at 2-1, you're thinking, right, you know, we need to try and find a way in the goal. We know we've got the firepower to get goals, you know, Christ, the games, the 2 games that Ranieri area has won. We've won 5-2 and we've won 4-1. So, you know, we're no stranger to a goal. It almost seems like at the moment with Watford, we're either winning 4-1, 5-2, or we could be getting sunk. I know, obviously, we only lost 1-0 to Arsenal, but we're so unpredictable at the moment. Like, I would genuinely say that Watford are probably the worst team to have a bet on in the league. Like, I'd never bet on Watford anyway, but if you're like a neutral, you can't bet on Watford from one week to the next. You can't think, well, Watford, they lost last week, so they're going to lose again, because we'll somehow pull this magnificent, you know, victory out of the bag and score loads of goals. So with, you know, at 2-1, I thought, OK, maybe we can get back into it. You know, there was another chance with Maddison. You know, they had a really strong spell before the end of the first half. Maddison really pulling the strings and running the show for Leicester. He cut inside on his left and he missed a chance. But 3 minutes later, corner for Leicester. And Ben, I think it was really, really poor. I know we've just talked, we've sung his praises, but poor marking from Josh King. Jamie Vardy rises the highest at the near post. Josh King goes up as well, but I genuinely think he's just jumped for the sake of jumping to look like he's trying to stop it. He's not made any attempt to try and actually win the ball back. People might think I'm being harsh, but I think it was terrible marking. And Jamie Vardy, like I say, peels off the front post, heads it in, and it's a poor goal to concede in my eyes. And with 3-1 down right on the stroke of half-time, which is the worst time to concede a goal.
Yeah, I saw this last week coming. Josh King was marking Cristiano Ronaldo last week, and I was like, that's a bit of a weird pair-up. You'd normally get maybe a bigger centre-half or someone a bit taller to be marking them. Especially knowing how good Cristiano Ronaldo is in the air. You've got Jamie Vardy, who's paired with again. It was like the attacker's marking the attacker. And you just know that... I know Josh King will probably know what Jamie Vardy's thinking, and he's going to try and lose him, his man here and there. But being a defender in that situation, you're too slow to react. And Jamie Vardy was so quick to get those 4 or 5 yards on top of him there. But I don't think it's just down to Josh King on how we conceded that goal. You got to put men on the post. If there was another man on the post there, that's another goal we're talking about that's avoidable, because that would have been cleared away, out for a throw, out up the pitch, and we could have reset and just carried on, and then we go in at half-time 2-1. Us not having a man on the post there cost us a goal. So I'm going to put that down to Ranieri. That was his fault for obviously setting up a set piece like that and not having anyone on the post.
Yeah. Or, you know, Backman, well within his right, you have to command that 6 yard box. You have to command that penalty area as a goalkeeper. So, you know, he should have maybe thought, right, I need someone on the post there. You know, it wasn't the first corner they had, I don't think. So they would have known. People do their homework. You know, Christ, they have set piece coaches nowadays, so it should have been picked up, as you say. But I thought it was really, really poor marking from Josh King, and an easy goal for Jamie Vardy. He'll score probably 5 or 6 of them a season if the defenders allow him to. So a proper off the training ground goal that was for Leicester City. So as I say, going into the break at 3-1, really, really disappointing. I was fearing the worst. I really, really was. You know, going in 3-1, the Leicester were, you know, they smelt blood. They really, really did. And I thought we could be in trouble here if we're not careful. And obviously the snow was coming down as well, so that probably didn't help things. Second half, James, we saw a double substitution at half-time. Tom Cleverley off and Imran Loser off. And then Ozan Tufan on and João Pedro on as well. Very, very attacking from Claudio Ranieri. He had to do that, didn't he?
I found the Tufan substitution a bit odd, just because, if I'm being honest, I've not been overly impressed with Tufan since he's arrived at Watford. I don't think he's contributed an awful lot when he's been on the pitch. And, you know, I liked having, you know, Tom Cleverley's work rate. As we say all the time, you know what you're going to get with Tom. We saw that against Manchester United. So I was disappointed in that sense with the substitution. But as you say, I could understand why Ranieri made it. Tufan is, you know, his mindset is to drive forward with the ball, and I can understand why he made that change. And João Pedro for Loser, you know, as me and Ben said earlier, you know, we wanted Pedro to start the game, and, you know, he come on, and, you know, you could see he was determined to make an impact. And, you know, he very nearly did at times, and, you know, unlucky, you know, whether it be due to the weather or whatever. But yeah, I could kind of understand what Ranieri was going with, albeit I wasn't that happy with Tufan coming on, just because I've not seen a lot of him in a Watford shirt, really.
Do you not think that Tufan's a more attacking option than Loser, though, and Ranieri was just thinking, right, we're 3-1 down now, we've just got to go for it, and Loser is more of a defensive, or he has been playing as more of a defensive midfielder. Tom Cleverley, yeah, bit of an odd one. It didn't really, I don't personally think he really got into the game as much as he would have done, as much as he did, against Manchester United. So, yeah, you know, maybe on that point, I can understand why he come off, but with Loser as well, would you not think that maybe it was just purely down to the attacking intent, or were you still a little bit puzzled as to why that was? Would you have kept it? Would you have kept it how it was, or would you have changed somebody else, brought somebody else on instead of Tufan?
Well, we don't really have many other options to bring on, yeah. To be honest. I don't really know. I think Tufan's more physical. I'll give him that. He's got a bigger build to him. I think Imran Loser's quite slight. And yeah, in recent games, when Loser's played, he has played more deep. But, you know, as Ranieri has said in his press conferences, you know, the whole idea with Loser is to eventually play him, you know, in a more advanced role and creating chances for players. So, I was just disappointed, really, because I think Loser had a great game against United, and I just want to see him play some more football.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, maybe the change is obviously made in the eye of hopefully a more attacking intent. Almost paid off, Ben. 50 minutes on the clock. How on earth, why on earth, what the bloody hell, Chucho Hernandez got forward. All he needed to do was shoot, right? All he needed to do was shoot. Instead, he passed to King, and then King went and missed. I mean, I think King should have scored that. Whether the snow had anything to do with it, I don't know. But, Ben, surely you're in the same view as well. Chucho Hernandez just has to shoot. And also, I don't know why he didn't, because that's all he seems to bloody do is get it on the inside, cut inside and use his foot. He only seems to shoot from the edge of the bloody box. So, what was going on there, Ben?
I'd like to see the angle behind the goal, because watching it back, it looks like maybe his view is kind of blocked by maybe two Leicester defenders there. So maybe he thought, if I lay this off to King, he'll probably have a better opportunity to score. But he also had Dennis, who was in acres of space there, where he could have laid it off to him as well. But I think King was expecting him to shoot, wasn't he? So then King's positioning wasn't great. He took a touch when it came to him, and then by the time he took that touch, Schmeichel was charging down to him and made a decent save. But yeah, like you said, Chucho Hernandez, every time he cuts in, he always takes a shot. So it was a bit puzzling to see him actually be like, nah, hang on, I'll lay this off my teammate anyway, I have a better chance of shooting. But he delayed the pass into Josh King, and Sir Michael made a smart save. So it's just frustrating. But I'm surprised you actually saw that chance, mate, because second half, I couldn't see that ball.
Yeah, it was really tough watching. I managed to find a stream. I think, James, you said you found a stream as well. It really, really was tough to see where the ball was. Like, also, as well, I think it was, I can't remember who it was on Twitter. It might have been Thomas James Designs, said that our kit looks mint in the snow, which is absolutely spot on. I really liked the yellow in the snow. It really, really stood out. But the ball,
I didn't think that you was a fashion expert, Mike.
No, I just think, I don't know what it was. It seemed more vibrant, the yellow did. Like, it was almost glowing in the snow. And I was like, I really like this. Because we only tend to wear our yellow kit at Leicester. It always has been the case. I struggle to remember a time where we've worn our away kit at Leicester. I don't know what it is. You know, blue obviously wouldn't clash with an away kit. Not that old. Well, maybe the FA Cup final season, where we had a blue away kit. Other than that, I can't really remember a time where it would have clashed with Leicester. So I'm not really sure why we opt to wear the yellow. But it was a bloody great decision that day, because I thought You know, if only the ball was the same colour as the kit, we'd have had no problems. But
gosh, well, it's meant to be the winter ball, isn't it? I mean, yeah, it should be bright orange or bright red.
Well, the winter ball is brilliant, by the way. It got a lot of stick when it was first.
It worked yesterday, didn't it?
But yeah, it was. I like the design of it, but Christ almighty. Do you know, that winter ball, if you want to buy it from Sports Direct or wherever, do you know how much it is?
Probably about 60, 70 quid.
£142 on Sports Direct. Oh,
that must be... wow. Because I think you can get a replica, and then you can actually get like a proper match ball. They use in Premier League matches. I think that's probably the difference that you're looking at there.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah. I was looking
at Sports Direct to get it for 15.
No, Sports Direct had it 142. I was like, what?
It's like us buying replica shirts from the Watford shop and the actual player wear shirts. I think that's the difference there.
Is there a difference? Can you buy player wear ones? Or
yeah, I think they're a tighter fit. I think they're more tailored to your body.
Yeah, maybe not then.
I didn't know you was into fashion, James.
Yeah, you're calling me out. No,
I've always known that. I thought that was like a commonly known like football fact.
I didn't know that. Because of lockdown, I've been struggling to fit into any kit. But I didn't know you could get an actual like player made sort of. Fit, tailored fit.
And I know, like the big teams do it, like United, Chelsea, City. But I'm not sure if Watford actually sell them. But yeah, who knows?
Money making ploy. That's why. That's anything to get their hands on some more money. I do know, interestingly, just about kits. The Liverpool one, I think it's from this season. Have they got that blue and white away one this season, or was that last season they had that? It was like a weird pattern.
I'll do a quick Google.
It was almost like an aqua kit. Like it was a bit of a weird colour.
They've got a white away kit this season.
Right, so it must have been last season. But their kit, like it was a specific pattern. I'm sure people will know which kit I'm talking about for Liverpool. But every kit was different. The pattern was never the same on the pattern was different on every kit basically, and it was because of recycling, so no pattern was the same on any two kits or any other
kit. I just sent it through on WhatsApp, Mike.
So yeah, that's the that's the one that the one that you've just sent me. People are going to be listening to this thinking, have these boys lost the plot? But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting point to make whilst we were talking about fashion and kits and everything. So, Kelme, if you're listening and you like our chat, then send us a free shirt. But yeah, no. So, I don't know how we missed. I mean, obviously, King was the last person to be expecting the ball to roll to his feet. But I certainly thought we should have had a goal back there, and you know it would have been in ample time as well to maybe get one back. But it wasn't too long before we did get a goal back. 11 minutes after that glaring opportunity for Chucho Hernandez, and this is why we love the guy so much. Emmanuel Dennis just does not stop running, and like it's just the persistence of our front three. Like I had. Obviously, living where I live, a couple of the lads round here are Leicester fans. I had one of them message me who was at the game. And then another lad that I know who lives in Birmingham, he's also a Leicester fan. And he sometimes listens to this. So if you're listening, Jake, you know, I did say I wished him the worst day possible on Sunday, but he's got the last laugh. So, but both of them, interestingly, actually both said the same thing. Going forward, you're very, very, very good. At the back, you're a shambles. And I think this goal, the Emmanuel Dennis goal, sort of highlighted that. He just does not stop running. And he stole the ball off Castagna. He went down like a sack of potatoes. And, you know, I think maybe the authorities were looking for the sniper in the crowd after he went down like that. But he then went through on goal. He sat Schmeichel down. And he chipped it, cool as you like finish, no pun intended with the weather, because at that stage I could not see a bloody thing. I had to wait for the commentator to say that it had gone in, and I had to wait for the noise of the crowd to celebrate, because I genuinely did not know if it had gone in, if it had gone wide, what had happened. But to keep your composure in weather like that. I mean, Josh King said at the end of the game, he couldn't see a thing. And I'm sure it's incredibly difficult to play in the weather like that. So to then go and pull off the finish that he did, Emmanuel Dennis, like we've said, Ben, Emmanuel Dennis is vastly becoming... He's now my Watford favourite Watford player after Troy Deeney. And that's quite a step up because Troy, you know, Troy's Troy, isn't he? But Emmanuel Dennis is slowly taking that crown. Not only as well because on Soccer AM, he did that thing with Josh King where you get given a topic, you have to... You then say how many of those topics...
Called, isn't it?
Yeah, so he was given the topic of boy bands. He then had to say how many he could name. Josh King could call him out on it.
He
named Westlife first. So he's very, 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 very good. And he's vastly becoming my favourite player. But all seriousness, Ben, brilliant finish for Emmanuel Dennis. And let's just hope that he doesn't get called up to Nigeria because AFCON starts soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you just know he's going to get called up, don't you? Unfortunately, I said last week that I'm worried about it approaching AFCON, and he's kind of playing his way into the selection for that competition, and I kind of wanted him to go under the radar a little bit, but he got fouled for a penalty and then he scored, and it was like... He didn't listen to the podcast, obviously. Didn't listen to our advice. But yeah, really good from Emmanuel Dennis. You can see what Ranieri's trying to do with the attackers. It's setting that high press, isn't it? And Dennis had that high press with that. When he took the ball off a defender there and just ran through. But what was he? He just made Schmeichel go to ground too early because he kind of faked a shot.
Yeah.
And Schmeichel went down early. And once he was on the floor, he just chipped it over him. But it wasn't just like quite a high chip. He did it so faintly just to like take the piss out of Schmeichel. I thought it was really smart.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was. It was a proper cool finish, and
he was taking the mick out of him, weren't he? He was saying, "Hey, I'm going to do this, you monk."
Yeah, exactly. And then they were moaning, saying Castagne was fouled, and then it was going to VAR. It took a while. I was like, "Surely not." And luckily for us, they didn't give it. I forgot who they said was on VAR.
I'm surprised VAR could even see what happened with the conditions.
It was Martin Atkinson, I've just remembered. Martin Atkinson was on VAR, and on my stream they showed Stockley Park, which I think they should start doing more often, because you could see Martin Atkinson pointing at the screen, obviously saying, look, this is what's happened.
Yeah, you don't get that view on Sky or BT, do you? I don't know if they're allowed. Stockley Park.
I don't know if they're allowed, because maybe I was watching the stream, which was, I think my stream, although it was English commentary, I think the stream channel itself, I could probably get myself in a lot of trouble by saying all of this. So hopefully no one high up is listening. But my stream, I think the channel was a Japanese channel. They obviously had English commentators, but they can show what they want, man. They like, yeah, they're laughing, they are. But yeah, 3-2, and I thought, yes, I genuinely thought, right, momentum's with us. The snow's going to cause havoc, yes, for both teams. But I thought we could really use this in our favour. And like I say, Leicester probably would have been thinking that as well. But I thought, you know, that goal showing that we're still pressing high and we still want it and we're still hungry. So 3-2, and I thought, yeah, we're back in. We really, really are. The snow was getting heavier. It was harder to see. I think they'd stopped the game as well because Stuart, I can't remember who it was that was refereeing. My memory's terrible this week.
Andy Madley,
wasn't it? Andy Madley had the pitch people come on and sort of clear the lines again so they could see. But what really knocked the wind out of our sails, James, was just after we scored, 8 minutes later, Luckman taps in into an empty net and makes it 4-2. James, was it a foul on Messina for you? Because it certainly looked like it. VAR looked at it, but they didn't really care. Now, whether the hindered view was a possibility, I don't know. But would you say it was a foul on Messina? Or
Yeah, I think so. I think the Leicester player basically just trodden his foot, and you know, whenever that happens, if that's happened to you in real life, you know, it does hurt a lot, especially if you've got metal studs on, or you know, you do it with a lot of force. So you know, it was a foul, but ultimately, you know, we can't change that now after the fact. And yeah, just going back to the goal as well, I know Ben mentioned it earlier, and I don't know if he wants to speak about it, but Schuster Kong was kind of having to cover for Messina, because obviously where the goal was actually scored at the far post, that's where Messina probably would have been defending. And Schuster Kong just he looked lost, like his lack of awareness about you know, around what was going on around him was just you know, it was astounding to watch, really, and just it was just devastating. Because you know, when Dennis scored that goal to make it 3-2, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, are we going to get a repeat of Everton where we go and win this game 4-2, 5-2? But no, obviously that didn't happen. And, you know, Lookman obviously scoring one of the easiest goals he'll ever score in pretty much an open goal.
Yeah, we'd have had a job winning the game 4 or 5-2, because when Dennis scored, it was 3-2.
So, sorry, you know what I meant.
Yeah, no, I know what you meant. And then we've just been talking about how good Dennis is and how we hope that he don't get called up to Nigeria and everything else. An article's come out today on the Watford Observer that Ranieri doesn't know how long these injured players are going to be out for, which a couple of people have made some very good points. The last few years, our injury record has been horrendous. Surely the club are looking into that. I do not know. But Emmanuel Dennis went down injured. I can't remember exactly what the challenge was. I think it was a challenge down near our sort of corner, where our corner would have been taken if we won one. He was chasing the ball as he does, and I think someone left one in on him. And then obviously Messina from that goal was also injured. We'd already made two subs at that point, so it was really like, right, who are we keeping on? Who do we, you know, take off? And they opted to take off Emmanuel Dennis. Ashley Fletcher come on in the 72nd minute, and we other than I think there was a chance where Toufan couldn't connect. The brilliant ball, by the way, from Kiko Femenia, but Toufan just couldn't get to it. But it was. It really was one of them days. I mean, there was 7 minutes added on in the end, Ben. Was you thinking even at 4-2 that there was a chance of maybe coming back? You know, 7 minutes left there was. Maybe one goal would have sparked a bit of a reaction. Or did you think, right, it's 4-2, unfortunately, this game's sort of out of our reach now?
Yeah, when it 7 minutes came up, I didn't fill me with much hope, to be fair, because like you said, we didn't really have many big opportunities after the Dennis goal. I know Toufan didn't really connect with it properly, but apart from that, there's not much to sing home about. Really poor finish to a game, maybe. I just didn't see us getting anything out of that. I think heads dropped after seeing the injuries as well, seeing Dennis go off. I think heads will drop, and I'm not looking forward to next week, mate. With the injuries we've picked up last week, two more yesterday, it'd be all right if maybe we're playing like a Norwich or a Burnley. We're playing City and Chelsea. I'm not looking forward to it at all.
Well, Norwich keep picking up points. I think they're unbeaten in three. So, yeah, that's also a little bit worrying, but he wasn't to be for us in Leicestershire. You know, really, really good opportunity to get another point. I think we said before this horrible running that we're currently in at the moment, I think I said that we were going to beat Man United. I'm taking that to the grave, so I'm going to keep mentioning that, boys. Don't you worry about that. I'm going to milk the life out of that, me calling that. But I also said that I thought we could have got a point against Leicester as well, and I'm disappointed, because I actually don't think we were that bad. I mean, defensively we were, but going forward, I thought we created enough opportunities. And, you know, on another day, if we had maybe Nkulu, or if we had Sierra or someone else, you know, it would have been a different score, and we perhaps would have been talking about a point gained or maybe even 3 points gained. But it just shows that Claudio Ranieri you can sell what he's trying to do, because I'm at risk of sounding like a broken record, but going forward, we actually look like we've got some sort of substance. We know what we're doing. There's a plan behind how we're trying to play. But at the moment, the defensive frailties are really letting us down. And obviously, and Kulu, we don't know how long he's going to be injured for. Cabaselli was on the bench. Would you come to... Let's go to you, James. Cabaselli was on the bench, obviously. Going forward, we've got Chelsea on Wednesday, and we've got Man City on Saturday. Would you be tempted to throw Cabaselli in instead of Troost-Ekong, or do you think he'll stick with... Because I could very easily sit here and say, would you? Because everyone would, because Troost-Ekong hasn't been great. But do you think that he will bring Cabaselli in because of Troost-Ekong's performance, or do you think he'll just want to keep it how it is because of the injuries and he won't want to risk Cabaselli?
I think with Cabaselli, it's a difficult one because you obviously want him to get back into the team and get back up to match sharpness. However, you know, do you really want to throw Cabaselli in to regain his match sharpness against Chelsea and Man City? You know, I don't know if that's a great idea, especially considering he's been out for so long. You know, would Ranieri make that change? You know, I'd actually rather we played Adam Messina at left centre back, bring Danny Rose in at left back, and then play Cathcart next to Messina. I'd rather do that than kind of throw Cabaselli in at the deep end, just because, you know, the caliber of opposition we're coming up against in the next week is very, very high. And, you know, I don't really want Cabaselli to, you know, his first match back, I don't want him to get, you know, run around by Lukaku.
Yeah, that's quite a scary thought. Ben, what about you? James just mentioned there, maybe bringing Adam Messina in at left centre back and maybe Danny Rose in at left back. What do you think should happen? Do you think he should stick with Troost-Ekong because of his, I say experience, but you know what I mean, like his experience in this squad. You know, he's played so many handful of games, and you know, he might, it's so hard to sum up. I was going to say he might be the best that we've got, but he has been poor for the last few games now. What would you do? Would you stick with how it is defensively, or would you maybe throw Cabaselli in the deep end, or would you switch it up and maybe play some other players, maybe switch it around, move it around at the back?
I'd rather play Rob Elliott, mate.
In centre back.
No, I'm joking. I think the game's, it's one game too early to put Cabaselli in. I think there's probably more of a chance of him starting against Manchester City just to get him another for weeks worth of training under his belt before throwing him in at the deep end. But maybe Ranieri's looking at it thinking he's been back full training for, it'd probably be about 2 weeks, 10 days building up to the Chelsea game. He would be up against his Belgium international teammate, Lukaku. He might know how best to handle Lukaku because he's played with him on international duty and he knows him well outside of football as well. So I'm thinking maybe Ranieri might be thinking that. He might not be, but I don't think Ranieri would be very happy with Troost-Ekong's performance at the weekend. A lot of people, well, Ranieri has said that, and Sissoko have both said, we need to cut these errors out of the team. If you're serious about cutting these errors out of the team, you need to take Troost-Ekong out of the team. Because he's doing them week in, week out at the moment. He was to blame for two of the goals at the weekend, two goals that was avoidable. So if you're serious about cutting out these mistakes, you need to take Troost-Ekong out of the team. I know it probably sounds harsh. There's people out there who probably don't agree with me. But like James says, yeah, we don't have much options. So I would do the same as James. Stick Adam Messina left centre-back. What else could we do? There's not much else we can do. If you don't want to risk Cabaselli yet, just put Messina in there. You've got his height. He's quite a strong lad as well. I think he might do an all right job against Lukaku. Lukaku's probably going to run all over him, isn't he, to be fair? But look, we haven't got many options at the moment, but I think Messina up against him would probably be better than Troost-Ekong in his current state of mind.
Yeah, it'd be interesting with Lukaku because I don't know if he's going to be playing because he's only just come back from injury, hasn't he? And I think he come on against Manchester United yesterday. He come on for the last 8 minutes. And then before that, I want to say, he was on the bench for their 4-0 win against Juventus. And he hasn't played since the 20th of October. And he hasn't actually played a full 90 minutes since the 7th of October, when it was Belgium against France. And then these last 90 minutes in the league was the 2nd of October. So he, I don't know whether they'll actually end up throwing him in at the deep end and starting him. I'd imagine he will play a part, but I can't
see throwing him in at the deep end to play against Watford and True Seacon.
No, I mean, they won't want to risk
that's
him.
That's easing him back in.
They won't want to risk him because he's just got back from injury, is what I was getting at. But yeah, no, I know how it sounded. What makes me sort of surprised is, and listen, I'm not saying find them and throw them in, you know, throw them in, give them a baptism of fire against Chelsea and Man City. But we saw James Morris was called upon into the matchday squad, and I think the Scottish goalkeeper, Vincent, I can't pronounce his last name. Angelini. He was also part of the travelling matchday squad that went to Leicester. So it's quite clear that they sort of keep an eye on the under-23s, and obviously those two were probably more to do with the injuries we've got at the moment. But what I can't believe is, surely we've got to have a centre-back who's not out on loan in the under-23s that we could even stick on the bench just for experience. We did it with James Morris. He's a left-back. And we already had Danny Rose on the bench, who's a left-back. We've got Ngakia on the bench, who can play left-back. And look, I mean, this is a real last resort. But surely we've got a centre-back in the under-23s or the youth team that we can even put on the bench just to give them that matchday experience. Listen, I don't know, but I was very, very surprised and that we haven't seen it as of yet. And I thought we might have seen more. But so unfortunately wasn't to be for Watford. Really, really disappointing day at the King Power. We just do not like winning there. I can only, you know, remember a small amount of games where we've actually won at the King Power. I think I was there for the last one. I think, if memory serves me correctly, the last time we beat Leicester at the King Power was when Chalobah scored that absolute thunder strike. So, I correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the last time we won at the KP. So
yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure I saw something on Twitter about it being that long. So yeah,
not a happy stomping ground for us.
Whereas at home, we've beat them a few times at home, especially in recent seasons, haven't we?
Absolutely. Well, Brendan Rodgers' first game as Leicester manager, we won 2-1. I was there for that.
Andre
one as well.
Gray scored in that, actually.
He did. Last minute. Yeah, I was there for that game. I think Jamie Vardy scored for them. He always does. Always scores against us. Troy Deeney scored for us. He was offside. This was the season before VAR was brought in. So thankfully for us, we benefited from that because he was offside. And then, yeah, Troy and Andre linked to get the winner. It's not very often we've said that on this podcast. Sticking with injuries, just a bit of injury news just to finish off the podcast. Ken Semmer, he's been running outside this week. He's been stepping up his recovery from a knee problem and hopefully rejoins the squad next week. Sierra Elt has been working hard as well in the gym during the first stage of his rehabilitation following the hamstring injury he picked up for playing for Chile. Cuadro Barr remains in the early stages of his recovery. He's been he had successful surgery on his fractured ankle. I had a fractured ankle a couple of years ago, and it's really, really horrible. And I think I've actually done something to it again, but yeah, it's not nice. And then Peter Etterbo's also been stepping up his work in the gym, and he's progressing well from his quad surgery. And then just a bit of sort of general news coming out of Watford, really. Just a couple of bits to end the pod on. You might have seen in the week that honorary Life president Elton John is to play two nights at Vicarage Road as part of his award-winning Farewell Yellow Brick Road final tour. I did wonder whether this was going to happen. You know, obviously the news of his final Farewell tour, you would expect him to bow out at Vicarage Road. You know, he had the last concert he had actually raised money to sign Troy Deeney. So whether this is a ploy to sign Troy Deeney back from Birmingham City, I don't know. or another League One striker that we've never heard of and he's going to be moulded into the next Troy Deeney, I will never know. But it's on the Sunday, the 3rd of July, and he's also got a date for the 4th of July 2022. Season ticket holders and regular match ticket buyers have been offered priority for purchasing tickets for the shows. Fans who have qualified for pre-sale purchases, they'll commence at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, December the 1st, which is when we play Chelsea, and they should have now received communication via email, including details on how to register and verify their fan records ahead of ticket sales going live. So if you're, it's been all over social media, so if you've not seen it, then you've been living under a rock as far as I'm concerned. But if you want to go and you're a regular ticket buyer or you're a season ticket holder, check your emails because tickets are out in 2 days' time as we record this.
You plan and see if you can get a ticket for that, Mike?
Do you know what? Someone asked me that. I think my boss asked me that when it was announced because I told him that he was playing there. And obviously, Elton John's brilliant and I think Elton John's great. You know, there's a few songs I've listened to his and... You know, who hasn't really? Rocket Man, brilliant film. Although the lack of Watford's sort of the lack of Watford's talking points in Rocket Man, acknowledgement. That's the word I was looking for. It really was disappointing. I don't think there was any. Come to think of it,
I think he wore a yellow dressing gown. I think that was the only like.
Yeah.
Thing so about Watford in the film.
Yeah, a little bit disappointing, but I. I'm not a big enough fan to go and see him live in concert. It might shock a few people, but I don't actually know enough of his songs where if he was to do... Obviously, he does his recent stuff and then he will do his classics. I don't know if I'd know enough of his classics to be there all night and sing along to every song. So,
call yourself a Watford fan.
Honestly, people probably listening to this thinking, what? Like, obviously,
you know... Classic fan.
I just, probably. It's just not my cup of tea. That's harsh, actually. That is very harsh. I don't mean it like that. I just mean if I was given the opportunity to see him live, I probably wouldn't do because I don't listen to his music enough.
He's no Westlife for you, then?
He's no Westlife for me. If Westlife were Watford fans and they bowed out at Vicarage Road, put me top of the list.
How about you, James?
Seats for you, Mike.
Yeah.
What do I like Elton?
Are you going to try and go?
Yeah, definitely. I've got my eye on the Sunday, so hopefully, as long as I get picked in this ballot,
doing a ballot?
I'm not entirely sure how the actual process works, to be honest. But as long as I actually get granted access, I've signed up with my fan ID and stuff. So hopefully, I should be going to the Sunday one as long as I can get my hands on the ticket.
And Ben, what about you? Are you going?
Yeah, I've registered my interest, so I'd like to do one of the dates. It's actually 2 weeks after I get married, so me and my missus, it'll be like our wedding presents to each other if we manage to go, because they're expensive, aren't they, watch Elton John. James was doing some investigating the other day, and he reckons the O2 tickets for him were about £50. But obviously, that's for like the resales, like 150, 200, people pay silly prices, don't they?
If you wanted to buy a resale now, it's like, as Ben said, it's like 150, 200 quid. But, you know, as long as you're buying, an actual ticket from the beginning, I think the O2 ones, as you said, I think they started from like £49.50.
But they're probably up in the gods, aren't they?
Probably, but... To be fair, if I'm there, I'm there. I just want to be in the ground, be in the atmosphere, and I don't want to expect. I'm an Elton fan, but I wouldn't say I'm absolutely desperate to see him live, and I can't live my life without it. It would just be nice to be there. So.
I think that's what I was trying to say, but I think that's very well put.
See, I'm different. I don't think I could continue if I don't see Elton John.
Exactly. It had ruined the
whole thing. It would be a special occasion, especially with him coming to the end of his career, especially under the lights at Vicarage Road as well. It would just be a special night, wouldn't it, to see someone who, look, if it isn't for Elton John, Watford wouldn't be where they are today. Who would Absolutely. Even know if Watford exists now? So hats off to Elton John and what he's done for his football club and bringing in Graham Taylor as well. So it would just be a fantastic time to actually go see him. I think it would be an amazing atmosphere, all the Watford fans getting together to see the number one Watford fan in all our eyes, really, isn't he? He's the biggest Watford fan out there. Whenever you speak to people, they always know who Elton John is, and they know Watford through Elton John, don't they? If you go abroad and say Watford, you might get some people going, oh, yeah, Watford, Elton John. Sorry, that was a really shit accent.
I usually get laughed at when I tell people I'm a Watford fan abroad. Or I'm met with, who are they? So never mind. But no, I know what you're saying. It's brilliant. And those proceeds don't sound too bad. But I suppose it's been hard for music acts, you know, with COVID-19. A lot of them have been really hit hard. And I think there's also a problem with Brexit now, that it's not as easy to tour abroad. I think Elton is a resident in the USA, so it might be easier for him. I'm not entirely sure, but the £50 not too bad. It would cost me more to go and see Westlaw on their tour next year. I'm pretty sure
don't quote me on that. Let's just wait and see.
All right, yeah. Basically,
oh no,
if they're not £50, James will buy your ticket for you.
James will pay the extra bit.
Struggling. Yeah.
It's not like he's struggling for money, is it? He should give us Watford fans a discount, really.
He should, yeah. Maybe our one's the cheapest show.
Didn't it say on the website that it would be affordable?
Well, it depends what you constitute as affordable, really.
Yeah, you Southerners...
£20.
You have much sort of higher living. To you like down south, affordable to you is probably... the tickets are only £120. Whereas us up north, we're like £20. That's a lot of money. We've been working a long time for that. So yeah, it's. I'm sure he'll do something affordable for the club. It'd be interesting to see as well if any of that money actually goes back to the club. I suppose we're not in a position as such where we would need it as much as we did last time we did it. But maybe he will want to give the money to something, or
yeah, maybe we could buy a centre back.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe he could name the Vicarage Road ends the Voices of the Vic end. And
would be absolutely incredible.
That would.
Maybe he could just sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Off the back of, because we're really expensive, aren't we? So maybe the back of a concert, £150 a ticket, he could just be able to afford to sponsor the podcast.
Absolutely. You get, what, 20-odd thousand in there, £150 a ticket. He'd just be close. He'd shave through.
Look, we would negotiate. We,
absolutely.
Because like, it's Elton, I reckon the deal could be made.
Absolutely. And we're really pushing this as well. Like, we've spent a large chunk talking about this. So if Elton or his, I don't know, representatives are listening, hit us up on the DMs. And, you know,
especially with the millions of listeners that we get each week, that does 100%. Command quite a high fee.
Yeah, absolutely. So... yeah, you know it makes sense, Elton. Drop us a DM, son. And then the last bit of news, talking of Watford legends, you'll be able to see one if you go into the game on Wednesday. So Troy Deeney is going to be at Vicarage Road to sign copies of his book, Troy Deeney, Redemption, My Story. By the way, I was like one of the first people to get this book somehow. That's not me gloating, by the way. That's me.
Of course
like,
you were. Puzzled. Here we go for game.
No, puzzled as to how that actually happened. I would put it on social media.
Biggest Troy Deeney fan. Oh. He lives around the corner from me.
He doesn't, because I live in Nottingham. So, ha! No, but I put it on social media when I got it, and I was like, how have you got it already? And I was like, I don't know. I've still not finished reading it. I was reading it for like weeks and weeks, and not weeks and weeks because I hadn't finished it, but I was reading it for like quite a few days in a row, getting a load of chapters done in a day, and it's just been sat on top of my on top of my chest of drawers. So
I could do one better, mate.
Yeah, you've not started.
I haven't even started it.
Brilliant. Okay, there we go then. But yeah, he's signing copies of his book. I don't know whether that means if you've got a book, you can take it down and he'll sign it, or whether I think the club shop actually sell the book. So whether you have to just buy the book.
I think I read it earlier, actually. I think we can confirm that. I think on the website they said it was only copies brought on the day that he would be signing.
Do you know what? I don't know where we would be without you for these little snippets of information. I was just talking about the Elton John ticket here. The Elton John ticket.
You're spot on there, James. That is why you're here. That is why you're involved in this podcast.
Yeah, just for the topics at the end. I just ask you questions just to keep you know, invested. But no, thank you for clearing that up. So yeah, it'll be his first return to Vicarage Road since he left after making over 400 appearances and moving to his boiled side, Birmingham City. 11 years of service for us, and yeah, he'll be in the Hornet shop from 4 till 6 p.m. prior to the game, and then he's going to be a special guest of the club for the game as well. So yeah, it's going to be, you know, I'm sure he'll get a good reception, hopefully. I feel a bit sorry for him at the moment because I'm in a lot of group chats with mates back home and diehard Blues fans, and they will not stop sort of slagging him off. They don't think he's any good whatsoever, which I think is a bit harsh, to be honest. But
we all thought the same last season.
No, not we. Let's not extend it to we, please.
James did.
Yeah, James got a stern telling off for slagging off Troy Deeney on this podcast, as will anyone.
I think you're over-exaggerating it a bit there, but whatever.
But yeah, no, the topics, right, there was only like a couple of sentences of the topics that Ben puts together for me and he sends over, but they took quite a while, and that's to me going on and on and on, so apologies as per. I say that every week. Just before we go, obviously we have got two games. The December games get a bit weird. You know, we start having midweek games. So as I've mentioned a couple of times already, you'll be listening to this on Monday night or Tuesday morning, whenever you choose to listen to it. So we are recording on a Monday. So Wednesday coming up, we are at home to Chelsea. That's going to be live on Amazon Prime. So if you've got Amazon Prime, you just need to go onto the website, or if you've got a Fire Stick, just log onto the Amazon app, and you'll be able to watch it there as well, because this is where the Amazon games start. And then we're on Sky, I think with a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday at home to Man City, much to the joy of many Watford fans. So yeah, two nice easy games coming up. You're not going to hear from us till next Sunday, though, or possibly Monday. We're going to be recording, hopefully, on Sunday evening. It just depends on when us three are free on the Sunday because of various plans, etc. But, yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a podcast, which might be a little bit longer because we're going to be talking about the Chelsea game and then we're going to be talking about the Man City game as well. So if you don't hear from us after Wednesday, straight away, don't panic. We will still be coming back. We're just going to kill two birds with one stone and such and talk about it all on the Sunday. So, we're sorry we couldn't chat about a win. We obviously always have fun chatting about wins, but we try and go off a tangent a bit when we lose because it's never great dwelling on a loss too much, so we try and have a laugh with it. So hopefully you've enjoyed it. It is a little bit longer than our usual podcast, but yeah, let us know your thoughts once you've listened, and stay safe and come on, you horns.
Podcast Network.